Today we're going to look at the fourth song found in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. This in Christian history is called the Nunc Dimittis. Christmas time is a time of anticipation. I know the kids get really excited to open those gifts. One year when we were in the Philippines, we made a family vacation plan to go to China over Christmas. This was 2007. And because we were going to be in China over Christmas, which we were actually in Beijing on Christmas Day. It was kind of, they even had Christmas decorations out. It's kind of surprising. But we were in Beijing on Christmas Day. But we knew that we couldn't open gifts on Christmas, obviously, because we were not at home. And so we opened them ahead of time. And we didn't tell the kids, but it was like a week ahead of time. And it's like, okay, kids, we're going to open gifts. And boy, it was the best Christmas because they weren't expecting it. It's like other Christmases, just like the adrenaline flows, and Shan's not feeling well because she's just so excited about Christmas. And it's like, oh, the anticipation that Christmas holds for us. What do you look forward to at Christmas? We all look forward to different things, perhaps. Maybe it's to see those kids you haven't seen for a long time. Maybe it's to see your family, your relatives. Maybe it's you would like just to get off of work for a day. You know, no work on Christmas Day. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe you're looking forward to that Christmas bonus. Yeah. Those are still given out once in a while, I think. I'm not sure. But whatever it is that you look forward to on Christmas Day, there's something even more that we can anticipate on Christmas Day. And this story from Luke chapter 2 tells us a little bit about that. But before I read the scripture, I'll tell you a little story I saw on Facebook this week. Now, I don't quote Facebook too often on Sunday morning sermons, but I thought this one was pretty interesting. I had to change a few words in it. So if you go looking for this, you'll see I modified it a little bit to be appropriate for Sunday morning service. But there was an elderly man in Oklahoma who called his son in New York and said to him, "I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of marriage, and that is misery enough." "Dad, what are you talking about?" the son yells. The dad said, "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Hong Kong and tell her." Frantic, the son calls the sister and explodes on the phone. "No way are they going to get a divorce," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." So she calls her elderly father immediately and screams at him, "You are not going to get a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. You hear? Don't do a thing." And so she yelled and hung up the phone. The old man hung up his phone and turns to his wife and says, "Okay, it's all set. They're both coming for Christmas, and they're paying their own airfare." Oh, I thought that was a pretty good one. Talk about anticipating Christmas. Well, let's look at this story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 2. Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem's not very far away from the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was. And there was an older man there. We don't know his age, actually. But he was part of the worship, and he had gone to the temple. He was a great man. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, I just want to look at this. "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, and here is the song of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Jesus was 8 days old, the time to circumcise him, according to the Jewish practice that went all the way back to the time of Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 12. This was the time that the baby was officially named Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Mary and Joseph traveled from the little town of Bethlehem, the town of David, to the capital of David, the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was. They were fulfilling the Old Testament custom, according to the law, to bring and offer a sacrifice. We find that the sacrifice they offered was the sacrifice of a poorer person. They did not have a lot of money. The family gave this sacrifice in dedication of the baby Jesus. But then there was this man in Jerusalem, as the story goes here, who was just doing his life and living, but he was a very special man because God gave him a vision. God filled him with the Holy Spirit and gave him this vision, this dream, that this acknowledgement that something special was going to happen. This man named Simeon. We get four descriptions of him in this passage. He was a man waiting in expectation, like we are. He was righteous, first of all. That is, he followed God's laws. He lived out his faith every day. You couldn't find a fault in him. He was what we would call today a righteous, a holy person who did as God directed him. He also was devout. That word means that he did his religious duties. He went to the temple. He offered the sacrifices. He prayed. He studied the scripture. He was a faithful believer in the Lord God. Third, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of the people who surround the stories of the birth of Jesus were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God had come upon them. They were in fellowship with God. They were holy people, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And fourth, he had this special revelation that God would bring the Messiah in his lifetime. And indeed, God did that. God led him to the temple on that day. Sometimes we think that it's just accidental that we go to places or we meet a person. But those might be divinely appointed experiences, encounters. It's not an accident that any of us are here or that we get to see each other today. It's not an accident that you meet people by out on the streets or in the store or whatever. Those are divine encounters. This was a very special opportunity and encounter that God led Simeon. And so we can notice three things about Simeon. One is his connection with God. We don't know a lot about what he did in his daily life, but we do know that he was in a special relationship with God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a devout person. And second, we can notice his lifestyle. He was a devout person, and he was following the way of God. And third, we get his sense of purpose, that he had a purpose in what he was doing in his life. He knew the significance of this newborn child, that had been born. This was no ordinary child. And so look again at his song, the Song of Simeon. He starts off with acknowledging who God is, just like the other songs that we've looked at over the last few weeks. Sovereign Lord, sovereign, all-powerful. We could say Almighty God is another way to say this opening. As you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. This man had been longing for this day, and now that day had come, and he could die in peace, basically is what he's saying.